The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
You're listening to Believe You Me with Michael the Count Bisbing.
You know my name yet?
And Anthony Lionheart Smith.
All right, we're rolling, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to BYM. BYM, Believe You Me. Anthony Smith hopefully is joining us in a little bit, but he's not here right now because I'm jumping on a plane shortly to fly to London, UFC 286, Edwards versus Usman 3, the trilogy with the Mike Harry. How are you, Harrington? You good, bud?
Dude, I'm doing absolutely incredible. I'm glad we're able to get one in before you head out to jolly old England and get swamped with what I'm sure is going to be a ton of responsibilities over there for you.
Well, it's always nice to go back home. Always love it. But yeah, you know, I think, and I'm not bitching, you know, a lot of time when I go back, I think people forget that I'm going there for a job. Yeah, and I have, and it's a very important job, you know, commentating the UFC. I love it. But we're not here to talk about me. When I go there, it was like, come here, do this, do that. Can you come and do this? Can you come and open this gym? Can you come over here? Can I meet you there? Can you be coming for a beer? My mom's like, are you coming up north to Manchester? I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm here for 3 days. I've got to do fighter meetings. I've got to do weigh-ins. I've got to commentate the goddamn fight. I've got to do BT sports stuff. Everyone just leave me the fuck alone. Anyway, but I'm very excited because it is one hell of a goddamn fight card. But it's all about the main event for me. Usman versus Edwards 3. What a fight. You know, I mean, I think I'm speaking to Usman for BT Sport tomorrow. And I can't wait to ask him some questions because I want to know what he thinks. Because, you know, when John Jones went away, he kind of got forgotten about. And it's weird because he only got beaten last summer, Usman. And he hasn't fought since. But it's like the world of MMA moves on so quickly. And it's all about what have you done for me lately? You know what I mean? And he's not getting mentioned in the pound for pound list anymore. You know, John Jones is back. So he's sitting at the top of that tree. Volkanovski's got something to say. We're going to talk about that later. But you know what I mean? It's like Usman was taking everybody out. He was beating them solidly. He was developing his striking. Loses one fight. And all of a sudden, he's not even... I mean, what is he ranked in the pound for pound these days? I don't know, but it's nowhere near number one. It's like 8 or 9, something like that. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, do you remember him pound for pound? He's number 5. So it's Jones, Volkanovski, right. Makhachev, Edwards, Usman. But I mean, I don't know if you remember him, Francis, and Israel standing backstage being like, right here, 3 of us, UFC Africa, sell that pay-per-view. It's like, well, now none of them even have belts.
That's the sport.
It's crazy how fast.
Yeah. That's what's so good about this sport, though. You know what I mean? Because you're right, because they all seemed, what's the word? They all seemed like no one was going to be undefeatable. is that a word? That's not a word. Yeah. Well, you're not impregnating me, Harrington. No. Invincible. That's the word I was looking for. Invincible. There we go. No, but they did. It seemed like Usman was going to hang on to that belt for forever. You know, Ngannou was a bad, bad man. Adesanya was wrecking shop. And now, as you say, it's interesting. All 3 of them haven't got belts. Did you see what Dricus du Plessis had to say about that, actually, just recently?
I mean, I remember in the run-up to his last fight, he said he's going to be the first real African champion.
Yeah, no, just look this up, see if you can find it. We're going off on a tangent here, but Dricus du Plessis came out and said, I'm the only one that's actually African. You've got a Kiwi in Adesanya, and you've got an American in Usman. He said, I'm the only one that wakes up and breathes African air every day. You got the quote there?
Yeah, I'm the African fighter in the UFC, says he'll bring the title to Africa. I'm the African fighter in the UFC. Myself and Cameron Simon, we breathe African air. We wake up in Africa every day. We train in Africa. We're African born. We're Africa raised. We still reside in Africa. We train out of Africa. That's an African champion. That's who I'll be.
Well, I'm sure Francis Ngannou has something to say about that because he was born and raised in Cameroon before he left. But still, who cares? Rodriguez du Plessis is the man, and them three fighters that we mentioned are fantastic. But yeah, as you said, the sport moves on so great and so fastly, and that's why we love it. Let's get into this main event, right? We had Leon on the show. He's very confident coming into this matchup. And I will say, listen, of course you've got to be confident. And I'm sure deep down, he knows that he's got a very tough test ahead of him. But I hope he's not overlooking Kamaru. You know, I think, because we had him on the show, and I've seen him say it many times, you can't come back like that. You can't come back from a knockout like what Usman suffered. You just won't be the same. And just look up Usman's age, because he's not getting any younger.
36.
I think he's 36. I was going to say 38. You can come back from knockouts like that. I did it. Many others have done it, you know? And yes, it's not an elevation because he was talking about elevation being a big thing. You know, he's going to be the hometown favorite, which is going to be fantastic. The crowd's all going to be on his side and things are going to change. Usman's going to walk out first. He's going to be the first one standing there. Changes a little bit, doesn't change too much. If anything, it might make Usman even more motivated. But I think that first fight now has just made Usman realize what he has to do. He can't stand with him. Edwards is by far the better striker. I saw some footage yesterday of Edwards hitting pads. And geez Louise, he is fast. He is sharp. But he's not typically, with respect, a finisher. We know we took out Usman last time, but prior to that, that's probably one of the only knocks. I mean, he's always so technically perfect, but not a finisher, you know, but I'll let you take the microphone for a minute. What do you think, Harrington?
This is a guy, like you said, like he, I don't know. Edwards always struck me as somebody who's going to be technically sound no matter what, would never overextend, would never overpower anything to try to look for a knockout shot. I mean, unless a guy 1,000% presented it to him, I didn't see Edwards going for it. And that's exactly what happened with that head kick, right? Like that's what he was looking for. He was working to get Usman to dip off to the side. Like it felt like that was his path to victory. I don't see how that works twice. You know what I mean? Just in my mind, I don't see how you can replicate that going into a second fight. And without that head kick, Kamaru Usman was beating him pretty soundly.
Yeah, well, that's without question. Leon knows that. His corner knows that. I mean, it was so inspirational. I mean, the coach at the end of round four, between round five, psyching him out, getting him, you know, let's go for it. What are you waiting for? Screaming at him. But yeah, that's because they knew. They knew if it went one more round without a finish, they were going to lose that fight. Hey, but he won, and it's incredible. And well done for him. But you got to remember, he did have a good first round as well. You know, tremendous first round. Hit that trip, took the back, mounted him, controlled him most of the round, right, if I remember rightly. But, you know, what have you heard from Usman? Nothing.
So
Have you seen any interviews with Usman?
So I did. This was the only thing I saw from Usman this week. I have the quote here. He said that quick kick was the only weapon that he used that worked. It was just a good kick. It was something that I knew I didn't do a good job, or I didn't as well as I should have to stop it. But it was a beautiful kick. Hats off to him. There are minor adjustments I have to make. It's going to be a little bit more difficult this time. In his head, he forgot about the four rounds before the kick. He forgot that I was taking his soul. So I have to remind him that I'm someone who took his soul twice.
Oh, well, he didn't. That's Usman?
That's Usman's quote.
Usman did not take his soul on the second time. If anyone's soul was taken, it was Usman's soul, which was taken by Edwards. Let's be honest. You know, I love Kamaru, but he was the guy, I'll say it again, I didn't know you could be unconscious with your eyes open. I know some people sleep with their eyes open, apparently. Are you a eyes open sleeper? I feel like you would be.
No. Yeah, that's how I stayed safe in those streets. The only one I've ever seen to do it is dogs, but
Yeah, yeah, dogs do it as well. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Matt, Alfie used to do that. It was bizarre. Yeah. It was bizarre. Yeah, yeah, eyes open. Yeah, look, listen, Kamara's going to say that. But the thing, as I say, other than that, you haven't seen him doing much. You know, you've seen Leon doing the rounds because, of course, when you're newly crowned a champion, your life changes, you know, and all of a sudden everyone wants a piece of you. You know, and they probably wanted a piece of him before. He's very popular. He's a great fighter. But you know what I mean? That first 6 months or so after becoming a champ, you know, the UFC do a great job of promoting you. You know, you do a lot of interviews, a lot of PR, a lot of dragging on you in terms of mentally and physically going to places, you know, being the champ, living that champ lifestyle. Where the part where Kamaru was, he'd been the champ for a long time. Just look up how many defenses, please, Harrington. But he'd done that for a while. So he was over that initial, you know, that initial, what's the word I'm looking for? Not the drag, but the weight of being a champion. I mean, yeah, he was off doing movies. He was in Wakanda Forever and all the rest of it. But right now we're seeing Leon with that kind of the distractions. That's the good word. And Kamaru, I think, has just been working with Trevor Whitman, Justin Gaethje, training his ass off for this fight. So it's kind of like, is he Rocky II? Is he Rocky II when he goes back? You know, and he trains with Apollo Creed in like the ghetto gym in the hood?
I don't know, three.
That's three, is it? Yeah, for Mr. T. And he's trying to do the footwork and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And all the brothers are like, who the fuck's this guy? Yeah. Usman's gone back to Rocky III, and Leon Edwards is... Was he Rocky IV when he loses all the money? He's well Rocky IV before he loses the cash. He's got the robot. You remember the robot in Rocky IV? Is he Rocky IV?
Rocky IV is the robot. Rocky V is where he goes broke.
Yeah. Anyway.
So I have five title defenses for Kamaru Usman. Took it off of Woodley, defended against Colby twice, Masvidal twice, and Gilbert Burns once.
Yeah. Gilbert Burns once, Masvidal twice, and Colby twice, right? Yeah, interesting. What do you think, Harrington? I can't give picks because I'm commentating. And again, people say, well, why can't you give picks? Well, it's disrespectful to either man, whoever you choose. The reality is, I do believe, if it stays on the feet, it's a tough night for Usman. If Usman can get hold of him, it's going to be a long, long, tough night for Leon Edwards. I don't believe Usman can finish Edwards. I think Edwards is very defensively sound, but can he keep the fight on the feet? We saw in rounds 2, 3, and 4, we couldn't. That's the real challenge. And that's breaking it down to the simplest form, but that's essentially what the fight is. And Usman, did he get complacent? Did he get reckless? Did he get careless? Did he sit on his laurels? Did the champ status go to his head? Did he underestimate Leon? He shouldn't have done that because after that first round, it's probably a 10-8 round for Leon in the second fight, that first round. So, but what do you think, Harrison? Who's your pick on or your bet on?
So I'm looking at it here. I mean, Usman got the takedown in round 1, got the takedown in round 2, two takedowns in round 3, and a takedown in round 4, 0-for-2 on takedowns in that fifth round. It doesn't seem to me, just looking at the stats, like Usman was being complacent by any stretch of the imagination. Like he was, you know, it's weird. The broadcast teams, you go back and watch it, they're like, you know, Usman's not the type of guy to coast. And then you see Usman just moving backwards and throwing the jab. And it's like, oh, he's very clearly trying to coast to the end of a very tough 25 minutes of fighting. So I'm not discounting that thought process or anything like that, but I don't know, man, there's something about, like, you know, a guy taking his first knockout, somebody who's got the knee issues and you know, just overall injury issues that Usman has had versus a 31-year-old man. And don't forget, Leon Edwards was his toughest fight on the come up, you know, on like his whatever it was, 12 fight win streak, 13 fight win streak, before losing to Edwards. His toughest fight was Leon Edwards. Now, Leon Edwards is in his prime. He's not a young kid anymore. This isn't, you know, like Conor McGregor beating up on a young Max Holloway. You know, like now these guys get older. They're in their prime as Usman is now reaching the tail end of his prime. Feels like it's Rocky's time.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, for the sake of the UK, I blooming hope so, because it's great to have British champions. May the best man win, of course. Yeah, but you mentioned there, I mean, because it was in the final minute of the fifth round wasn't it, when the head kick came. And you got to think, I don't know, maybe Kamaru was tired, maybe thought he had this one in the bag. He probably just thought, if I dance around for another 30, 45 seconds, the bell's going to go and I'm going to win a decision. You know, but you can never do that. Certainly not with a guy like Leon. You know, I mean, those kicks are beautiful. Have you seen the physique on Leon Edwards? It is insane. I mean, that man is a special, gifted athlete. The speed of his strikes, as I saw him on the pads earlier this morning. I was like, wow, he is super fast, super fast. And I think also, you know, the mental momentum coming into this one, knowing that he can knock him out, that he can hurt him, that ultimately that he can beat him, that is a very, very powerful thing to have. So what do you reckon? Do you think if Usman doesn't win this, do you think he retires and hangs it up? Because he had hinted towards that in the past. I'm sure I heard him say in some interviews, I'm coming towards the end of my career. I've beaten everybody. I've lapped everybody, which wasn't necessarily true. But if he loses here, what do you think?
Well, it's weird. Like, look at somebody like Amanda Nunes, who was having those same conversations before losing to Pena. Now she's back. She's won that title back, and she seems like she's hungry again. So this might have the opposite effect on Kamaru Usman, right? Where he was in that situation where, in his mind, going into the Leon fight, I think he was going up for Anderson Silva's record for most consecutive wins in the promotion or something like that. So to go from that to, like, understandably kind of, you know, I'm over this. I've done everything I could possibly do, to now you have something to prove. Like, I could see that lighting that fire in him where, you know, like you talk about all the time, hard to get out of silk bed sheets and go for a run in the morning. When you're no longer the champ, when you've had that taken away from you, I could see that lighting a competitor's fire back in Kamaru Usman and get him going, even off a loss, to prove, like, I'm not going out like this.
No fighters want to go out like that, right? I understand, you know, you get these fighters like, I hate to say, BJ Penn's a great example. You know what I mean? He went out on a string of losses. You know why? Because you say, oh, I ain't going out like this. I'm having one more. I'm going out on a win. I want to get that final feeling, that final rush. I want to remind the world what I'm capable of. The problem is that you can't do it anymore. Do you know what I mean? But we're the last ones to figure out. Like I always said, I would never do that. I went out on two straight losses. Only time I lost two in my entire career. But, you know, I don't think, but by the way, Usman's not there yet, you know. But he has made a lot of money. He has opened doors to other worlds. You know, he did that acting thing. I don't know if he's going to continue pursuing that. But, you know, he's flying around on private jets. He's wearing very, very extravagant clothing. Can't wait to see what he's rocking in this week. You know what I mean? Some of those outfits that he wears, then listen, it's not my style, not my cup of tea, but man, he pulls it off.
He spends so much money on so little clothing. You know what I mean?
I do. There's always the chest. There's always jackets with nothing on underneath, and the biceps are always popping.
It's like a $10,000 scarf.
Yeah. God bless him. God bless him. What was I going to say? Yeah. Just Google, and it will be totally inaccurate. But just put in Kamaru Usman net worth. See what that brings up, just for fun. Not that these things are ever accurate, because apparently I'm worth a few quid on that as well, and trust me, it's not true. But what's it say for Kamaru?
4.2 million according to Wealthy Gorilla.
I mean, that's where you get all your information from. Wealthy Gorilla.
Who's not gonna trust them?
Yeah, come on, it's Wealthy Gorilla, fucking hell. Dear. So who's your pick?
I have to. It's the champion fighting in his backyard. I got to go with Leon.
Okay,
Edwards.
But hold on. Don't just do this because you know we have a big British contingent.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Don't be pandering all day long, baby. Don't be doing an Anthony Smith, okay? All of a sudden now Anthony's wearing the bloody, you know, he's wearing the Union Jack everywhere, singing God Save the Queen, you know. Real pick. You think Leon?
Yeah, I do think, you know, I looked it up, 35, he'll be 36 in just a couple of weeks here. So, when you get to that point, when your knees and your back is injured, when you're already talking about retirement, Dana White says it all the time. If you hear guys talking about retirement, don't take another fight. right? If you're planning that retirement, don't take another fight. Just retire because your head is not 1,000% in it. Leon Rocky Edwards, his head is 1,001% in it. And I think he wants to continue to be the UFC champion for a while. Like, if you remember before COVID, he was supposed to go on this run, right? He had the fight against Tyron Woodley that was going to set him up for number one contender status. His whole timeline got pushed back just a couple of years. And instead he spent that time, training, right? Yeah. He spent that time getting better and better in the gym while Kamaru Usman was going and fighting Colby Covington again and fighting Jorge Masvidal and Jorge Masvidal again. Leon Edwards was just in the gym training and fighting killers and not getting paychecks. It's his time now. It's his time.
You raise a very, very good point, Harrington. That is a really good point because you're right. I mean, that was such a frustrating time for Leon, you know, during COVID when he was supposed to fight Woodley, as you say, that got canceled. And there were some other big fights. I think he was supposed to fight Hamzat as well. That, you know, he was one of the only guys to accept him. That fight never came to fruition. So it was a really frustrating, non-money generating time for Leon Edwards, you know what I mean? And he continued working and working and working, and he became the champ. Eventually, go on, what were we going to say?
And they offered him a short notice title fight, right? That he couldn't bring his team with him. He couldn't train properly for it. Like, he could have gotten that shot. If he just wanted that one paycheck, he could have gotten that shot, and Lord knows if he'd ever get another one. Instead, he let that shot go to, I think it was Masvidal, and he kept working and he kept training because he knew, right, when it became time for him to be the champion of the 170-pound division, he wanted to be as prepared as possible and ready to reign for quite some time. So, God bless Rocky Edwards. I hope he gets it done this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Listen, it's a tremendous fight. I wish I could make a pick. I one part of me, regardless of whether or not who wins, because they could still make the fight. I was going to say, one part of me wants Leon to win. A big part of me wants Leon to win. May the best man win. no, because I want to see, listen, a Masvidal isn't anywhere near a title fight right now. But Leon versus Masvidal, they have got unfinished business, and regardless, because whether or not Leon wins or loses, you can still make that fight, and I want to see that go down in the octagon. Let's be honest, you know what I mean? Guy sneaks up on him, three piece in a soda, makes a meme out of him, cracks him three times. They've got to figure that out.
At some point, you need to figure that out. But I mean, you know, I understand what you're saying, him being nowhere near a title, but I mean, his next fight is against Gilbert Burns. If Jorge Masvidal
if he beats Gilbert,
he 1,000% should be, you know, right there in that number one contender spot. I know there's Shavkat and a number of other guys who are these young killers coming up at 170, but as far as that older crop goes, I mean, that's a big money fight for Leon.
It's a huge fight, massive money fight as well. You know, who's not going to want to watch that? And certainly if Masvidal can get back to winning ways over Gilbert Burns, because we all know Gilbert Burns is the real deal. All right, so there we go. That is the main event. Well, really quick, I want to tell you about Innovative Extracts, and we have a massive 40% off your first order offer for all of you people. Now, Innovative Extracts is a veteran-owned company, a CBD company located in Pennsylvania that offers a full lineup of CBD and THC products if you want that little bit of extra kick. Now, they have their own farm where they use organic practices to grow the hemp, so you know it's top quality. They have the lab on site to process the hemp into, as I say, high quality CBD oil. They partner with GMP certified facilities and use third party labs to ensure all of their products maintain the highest quality. Now, for us, for you, it's the best value on the market. It's the highest quality CBD at the most competitive price. And we're all interested in relieving stress, aches, pains, improving sleep. And these guys, well, they've got products to help all of those things. So their products will help improve your sleep, improve your mood, reduce anxiety, and give you relief from pain and inflammation. And they have a wide variety of products to suit your taste. They've got tinctures, gummies, creams, vapes, whatever you need, whatever you're looking for. If you want to take the edge off or you want to give yourself a little bit of a buzz, then Innovative Extracts has a full line of Delta 8, 9, and 10 THC products that are legal and don't require a medical card. So go to their website, ie-cbd.com, to get 40% off by using the promo code MMA. The old school full website, www.ie-cbd.com, promo code MMA, 40% off. Co-main event, Justin Gaethje, Rafael Fiziev. I mean, come on. When I look at Justin Gaethje, we love the guy, the human highlight reel. But if he's going to win this fight, he's got to use his wrestling. He really does. I'm looking at his record right now, 23-4. Lost two out of his last three. That's fine. Lost to Khabib, lost to Charles Oliveira. Dropped Charles Oliveira, made the mistake of not following him down. You know, I thought he'd stick to a game plan, get it back on the feet where he had an advantage. Got clipped. You know, we all know now Charles Oliveira is the real deal. Michael Chandler, what a fight that was. UFC 268, Madison Square Garden. Holy shit. And we didn't really see much wrestling, only from Chandler. But the defensive wrestling from Gaethje in that fight was unbelievable. I couldn't believe a couple of moves. And, of course, he lost to Khabib. No shame. No shame there. Prior to that, though, quite the run. Apart from the loss to Poirier and Eddie Alvarez. Look, listen, Rafael Fiziev, he's one of the most talented strikers that we've seen in the UFC for quite some time. He's so fast, the reflexes, the whip on his kicks, his strikes, he is extremely fast. I believe if they stand toe-to-toe, Fiziev has an advantage. He just does. He just does. But if Justin Gaethje wrestles, mixes it up, and turns it into a mixed martial arts fight, then that's his path to victory all day long.
Yeah, and I mean, but how many times are we going to say this? How many times are we going to say,
I know.
Justin Gaethje has to wrestle in this one. He absolutely has to wrestle in this one.
You say it every time.
And every time he just goes out there and it's like, all right, I'm just going to create car crashes. I'm just going to, it's just violence. It's, you know, I'm getting that 50K whether I win, lose, or draw. I don't care. I've given up at this point of seeing Justin Gaethje actually evolve a wrestling game, even with people telling us just on this show recently that in the training room, Gaethje is a nightmare to deal with in wrestling in practice. I just don't know why he doesn't break it out in fights.
Well, you know why? Because it's a lot easier to punch somebody in the face. And it also, the feeling of punching someone in the face is fantastic. He's got beautiful boxing. He's a very, very good striker. Uses leg kicks well when in close range. Does that better than anybody, to be honest. Normally, leg kicks are kind of a more long-range attack. You know, on the end of a jab, dropping a right low kick or whatever it is. He does them in the middle of boxing combinations in the pocket. Does a very, very good job of that. Good striker. You know, but he does take a lot of damage as well. You know, I won't compare him to a Tony Ferguson, but there is some kind of similarities there. Do you know what I mean? And against Tony Ferguson, I mean, that was one of the displays of boxing we've seen from Justin Gaethje. That left hook was money. He just couldn't miss. So I'm not totally disregarding Justin Gaethje as a threat on the feet in this fight. I'm just saying, if I'm Trevor Whitman, if I'm coaching Kamaru Usman and Justin Gaethje, they're in the camp together. You see them on the embeddeds, they're doing swimming training together. They'll be sparring together. And I will be drilling it into my man. Listen, you are fighting Rafael Fiziev. The guy is known for being one of the best bloody strikers. He can't wrestle, even though where's he from? Hold on, is it Kyrgyzstan? Hold on. Kazakhstan. I mean, he can wrestle a bit. He's from Kazakhstan. Brother. He's talking like this. But he's 12-1. Only time he lost was to Magomed Mustafayev. Spinning kick to the body, then followed it up with punches on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 fight win streak last time out. Dos Anjos, round 5. Brad Riddell, round 3, spinning wheel kick. Knocked out Renato Moicano in the first round. Decision against Morris Giacchese. And it was that fight against Giacchese when I saw that, because Giacchese is extremely talented. When I saw what Fiziev was doing against Morris Giacchese, I was like, oh, shit. This guy's special.
Yeah, he might be for real. I mean, he does do a lot of the training out in Thailand. So, like, that leaves me a little questioning, just because, like, you know, like you said, Gaethje does like to hit that like 1-2 in the boxing and then, you know, throw in the leg kick. I feel like Fiziev he's been training with the Thai boxers for almost his entire career. So I feel like he's going to be ready for that boom, check a leg kick that Gaethje's not expecting. And that could be a bit of an issue. But I do agree. I don't know, man. I think it's going to be about who takes the other one's legs out and stops that movement, stops that momentum.
Yep. Well, that's an interesting take. And I like that, actually, because both of them throw ridiculous leg kicks. I'm just thinking, though, if I'm Trevor Whitman, if I'm Kamaru Usman, you know, I say, look, listen, we both lost our last fights. Okay, we're two of the best people in the world. In this game, we are top of the sport. You know, I was the pound for pound number one. The only fights, Justin, that you've lost recently are world title fights to Khabib and to Charles Oliveira, right? Yes, you want to fight with your desire, with your manhood on display, so to speak. You don't want to wrestle. You don't want to do all that stuff. But hey, you want to win. And that's what gets remembered. And you want to be the champion of the world. And you want to make some proper big time money and make all this blood, sweat, tears and sacrifice and time away from family and friends and on planes and taking damage and punches to the face and the body and the legs. You want to make that all worthwhile by gaining the absolute prize. So how about we just check the ego at the front door a little bit and we fucking wrestle in this one? You know, if I'm Trevor Whitman and if I'm Kamaru Usman, I would be saying that as well. You know, you would say, listen, you can wrestle. You have to use this. Because I guarantee Kamaru's training camp is going to consist of replicating rounds 2, 3, and 4. As soon as the referee says, fight, Kamaru, if this is Leon, there it is. And there's Kamaru. It's hard on these fucking, because my hands are here. He's going to be all the way out or all the way in. He ain't going to be in the pocket. And when he does decide to go, he's going to throw 1, 2, whatever it is, clinch, wrestle, fuck him. All day long. That is going to be the plan for Kamaru. And some of that has got to rub off to Justin Gaethje being around that all day long. You know what I'm saying? So I think we'll see Justin Gaethje wrestle. I don't know if we will, though. I really don't know. Even if I said that, I don't truly believe it.
Dude, that would be, here's the thing. At this point, that would, like I said, I'm past the point of believing it'll ever happen. So now is the time to actually break it out, right? Like if everybody who you're fighting, Justin Gaethje, thinks the same way that me and every fan who's watching thinks that the wrestling is not coming, you surprise a guy with the takedown for sure.
100%. And look at the champion, Islam Makhachev, right? Justin Gaethje is still right there. One of the most popular people, but that doesn't last forever. How old is Justin? Let me see here. He's only 30 years old. Wow, I thought he was older. Only 30 years old, so he's got plenty of time yet. But, you know, when you're at the top of the division, that doesn't necessarily last so long.
He's my age. He's 34.
It says right here, age. Oh, no, I'm looking at Rafael Fiziev. Pardon me. Yeah, pardon me. Well done. Yeah, I was going to say, it feels like he's older. 34, he's still kind of young, though. But again, with the miles on the clock, you know, Justin Gaethje's got a lot of miles on the clock. How many fights in total? 23 and 4, 27 fights. It's a lot of fights at the highest level, taking a lot of damage along the way as well. But if he can win this fight, beat Fiziev, Makhachev's right there. And he's got the wrestling to cause some problems for Makhachev. You know what I mean? The defense of Justin Gaethje, when Michael Chandler shot some of those shots in Madison Square Garden, and we call it a rice bale in Japanese jiu-jitsu. It's just like kind of where you get forced onto your back, but then you roll over with it. You just keep it rolling. You use the momentum and you end up on top. He did that. The defensive wrestling of Gaethje is incredible. But if he wants to become the champion of the world and remembered as a champion and go down in history, in the history books, you know what I mean? You've got to check the ego. So I'd like to see him wrestle against Fiziev. And if he beats Fiziev, there's a good chance he gets to fight Islam Makhachev next. Because who is Makhachev going to fight next? Right? I don't think he's got a clear-cut contender. Potentially Dustin Poirier, but that's not confirmed.
No. And I mean, it's, you know, it is very, like, you know, you have Dariush versus Oliveira. That's an argument in there. You Poirier, who just beat Chandler, so that cements his legacy there. But, I mean, Gaethje versus Fiziev, number three versus number six, that's right there too. So it's really any one of those three could get this next shot here.
All right, Premier Fight Picks is back. Top MMA sports bettor with a 70% winning record, publicly tracked over 4 years, and combat sports analyst with over a decade of martial arts training, competing, and coaching experience. I am talking about Bardia Helmy. Bardia has been on fire as of late, profiting on four straight events just this past weekend. UFC Fight Night, he hit big on underdog Jonathan Martinez over Saeed Nurmagomedov and also Alexander Shabili the night before for Bellator 292. If you like to bet on fights and you're looking for help in picking winners, visit PremierFightPicks.com to subscribe. With Usman taking on Edwards this weekend and a stacked card and six UFC events scheduled throughout the next 2 months, it's the absolute perfect time to sign up. Bardia is offering weekly, monthly, and yearly subscriptions so you can get in on the best MMA bets, quick picks, and analysis. There are currently three bets posted for UFC 286, including a parlay and a bet on the highly anticipated main event. In addition, there are a couple of future bets already posted for the upcoming Vera versus Sandhagen fight and the Pereira versus Adesanya trilogy. So sign up now to view all of this content and much more. And lastly, don't forget to follow Bardia on Instagram at Premier Fight Picks and Twitter at PFP Handicapping for free access to free fight breakdowns and betting analysis. Free fight breakdowns and betting analysis. I said free fight breakdowns. It's a little tricky, but still, there you go. Good luck. All right, so anyway, we're going to go through some of the other fights on the card, but Harrington, give us a non-UFC 286 story, okay? What do we have, buddy? What do we have?
So Joe Rogan had an NFL player on his podcast the other day, and they were discussing about the rules of MMA and bare knuckle, and essentially it came up to this. My thought was like, that's how MMA should be. MMA really shouldn't have gloves on because you're really having it. You have a false sense of confidence. What you could do with your fist, because this is not really designed for punching things, it's designed for grabbing things.
Talking about the glove.
Talking about your hands. Like if your hand has a glove on it, that gives you a false sense of confidence. So now you can punch things, where the hand itself is really designed for grabbing more than punching.
Yeah. Well, it depends what you want to use it for. But essentially what Rogan's saying is what you're saying to me and the believers is that essentially Rogan's saying that MMA should be practiced without gloves on. Is that correct?
Bare knuckle MMA, yes.
Okay. Let me just see. I think I saw the headline. It says, where is it? MMA really shouldn't have. Joe Rogan thinks the UFC shouldn't have gloves on to fight. I mean, look, listen, Joe's been around the UFC way longer than I have, you know. He's part of the furniture there. So, but I kind of disagree. I do disagree with that. I mean, simply because, I mean, when you look at bare knuckle boxing, you know, and this is, people are going to say this is rich for me because they'll go, oh, you were just condoning the slap boxing the other day. You know, yeah, fucking was. So what? Get over it. You know, when you look at where MMA has come, you know, to where it is now, where it's come from and like wasn't allowed on TV and all the two men enter, one man leave and human cockfighting comparisons and things like that. And we broke down all those barriers. And it's become a mainstream sport all over the globe, pretty much, which is crazy. That would never, ever have happened if there was no gloves on. There's just no way. I mean, listen, the Fertittas and Dana White, they brought in the unified rules of mixed martial arts. They got it sanctioned by the athletic commissions. There's no way that would have happened if there wasn't gloves on. There's no way that, you know, respectable people would choose to watch that if you were fighting with no gloves. I mean, the cuts, you know, would be unbelievable. The amount of blood will be far more accentuated. I think it just makes it a little bit easier to digest. I understand what Rogan's saying. I understand his point. I do. But I think just in terms of a product that you're trying to sell, that you're trying to mass market, if you didn't have gloves on, that would be very hard. Saying that though, bare knuckle boxing, that's sanctioned by the athletic commissions, correct?
Yeah. I mean, it is like they do have it in like weird places. Like, you know, Biloxi, Missouri or whatever, because I think the athletic commissions are a little more friendly to them there.
Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. But I don't think, I don't think so. What do you think, Harrington? What's your thoughts?
So, I mean, I get the point that he's making, like, if you're using your hand, right, to punch someone, there's a better chance of your hand breaking and it being... Like if Joe's whole point has always been like, let's get rid of the cage. Let's get rid of the round timer. Like, let's make this thing as close to two men enter, one man leave, like real combat as possible. And if you're just running into someone on the street and you hit him as hard as you can in the face with your unprotected hand, you got a pretty good shot of just breaking your whole hand, you know? So that would make it interesting in the sense that guys would lean more towards, I guess, elbows or knees or kicks or you know, like I feel like people would have to change up their game plan a bit to last longer in MMA doing it bare knuckle.
But essentially, that is all the glove is for. It doesn't really, I mean, of course, it does reduce the impact of the punches a little bit, but it's not much. Those 4-ounce gloves, those UFC gloves, when you put them on, they are very hard. Right, they're very hard, and yeah, as I say, they will absorb the punch, but I don't think much. I'd be willing to put money on it that if you punch one of those machines that measure your punches and you had it with the glove and without the glove, I don't think there'd be much difference. I really don't. It does protect the hand, but you know, when you wrap the hands, I mean, your hands are wrapped significantly, that protects the hands a lot. Then you got a further layer of protection with the glove. I like it. I like it with the glove. The thing is the eye pokes. They need to figure that out. That's the real thing that needs to change. I think the gloves are always going to be around. I understand Joel's point for being a purist. If you're being a purist in that regard, I'd like to see a Pride style round, 10 minutes. You know what I mean? That'd be good. Or even no rounds. If we're going down that path, I'm not saying I'm advocating for a change of an overhaul of the entire system of mixed martial arts. That's not what I'm saying. But if we were going to do that and go down that purist route or route, as we say in England, that'd say do away with the rounds. You know what I mean? Because then that would be way more like a real fight.
Or like, what if that you had the round break, but after, like, if you end a round, like, in mount against someone and the round bell hits, you got to go right back to that position once the round is over.
Yeah, maybe.
Or once
maybe.
What would be the
point of having the round? Because then obviously you're giving them the minutes rest, but there's no point doing that if you're doing the round because you just start the fight again. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. The idea of not having the rounds is like, you don't get a break, you don't get a rest. You know what I'm saying? But this is a stupid hypothetical situation. And I'm sure, what essentially sports, I mean, that is that's the website that reported on this. I mean, come on. It's a throwaway comment from Joe Rogan. And they go and write a bloody article on it. That's what happens these days. You know what I mean? You say one little thing in the press and they jump all over it. They're looking for clicks.
You should just try that. Say something ridiculous and see if anybody grabs it. Like, just say it for the sake of getting essentially sports.
Oh, they do. They do. They say it all the time. I'm going to say it right now. Bisping advocates no rounds in mixed martial arts. You know? It is what it is. All right, so Volkanovski obviously just lost the 155-pound belt to Islam Makhachev. Crazy, crazy close fight. And now John Jones coming back. He's at number one. And Volkanovski, in terms of pound for pound, and Volkanovski doesn't seem to have a problem with that, right?
No, so he went on Steve O's podcast. Steve O was like, you know, it's pretty messed up that Jones gets to jump you after just one fight. Volkanovski actually jumped in and corrected him. He said, you're right. It was just one fight, but what he did moving up, at least he moved up and showed where the pound for pound comes into play. The body of work that we've done in the last few years, obviously a lot of people are going to be like, look at what Alex has done in the past few years. You can get that. But at the same time, look at what Jones has done as well. So can I argue that? He's going to be one of the greatest of all time. So for him to take that pound for pound slot, it's like, damn it. But what can you do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, that's why you got to love Volkanovski. Do you know what I'm saying? Because what an attitude to have, you know? And to be honest, who cares about the pound for pound? It's an invisible thing. It's just an opinion-based thing. There's no belt. There's no trophy. But it is nice. I mean, I would have loved to have been able to claim that I was the pound for pound number one on the planet. I mean, what a beautiful thing that is. But yeah, he's seen the bigger picture. John Jones, in my opinion, is that man, you know? Dana White said that. I think everybody agrees. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to retire as the consensus GOAT, like there's no Khabib argument where he didn't stick around and defend his title long enough, right? Like there's no GSP argument where, you know, he lost to Matt Sarah out of nowhere, like these random ones. Every other person you would put in that GOAT conversation, you can hit a yeah, but. And the only thing for Jones is the picograms. It's the stuff outside of the cage. It's whatever. But inside that octagon, he's untouchable.
But hold on, George St. Pierre, though, he's another guy that you can't really argue with. Yes, Matt Serra knocked him out, but he got revenge on that one. He came up to him middleweight, took my belt. There's no picograms there. So George has a legitimate claim. But yeah, for John Jones, if you look at the body of work, there's no argument. There's no argument, but the picograms, you know what I mean? It's a big one. It is. It's a big one. But if we forget about the picograms, then he's definitely the guy. But just to go back to Volkanovski, that's why when I heard that, I'm like, this guy, he's just awesome. You know, right before the fight, I did an interview with him on my YouTube channel and in Australia. Rebecca was the camera woman in the background. She's doubling up these days. And he was just awesome. He's just such a great guy, you know, and we were talking about how it's changed his life and how he flew here to Perth on a private jet. You know what I mean? This is a guy that was working on building sites and stuff. Now he's flying private, you know. I mean, it's great. You know, he's such a solid, just still humble dude. He's a tremendous success. But of course, he's got a tough fight coming up. Is it scheduled yet for him and Yair Rodriguez?
It's being targeted. They're looking at it for UFC 290, aka International Fight Week in July.
Which is also going to be John Jones and Stipe Miocic.
If everything goes to plan, that's a pretty damn good card.
Oh my God, could you imagine that? Yair Rodriguez, Volkanovski, co-main event. Jones, Miocic, number one main event. My God, International Fight Week, going to be there. In fact, I should be doing that one for ESPN. So fingers crossed, I will be there. Rodriguez, Volkanovski. Rodriguez just gets better and better. Better and better. I thought Josh Emmett... I don't think we went over this because I was still in Australia. I think you did it with Anthony. I thought Josh Emmett would have given him a way tougher time. Josh Emmett can wrestle. He's got heavy, heavy hands. Yair Rodriguez was pretty comfortable in that fight, if I remember rightly.
Well, I mean, Josh Emmett did blast him with a shot that had Yair himself was like, yeah, I don't remember anything after that first round. Like, Josh Emmett hit me really, really hard. So, yeah, I mean, other than that one big shot, you are correct. But dang, Emmett does hit hard.
Oh, no, of course he does. He's like a truck. But Volkanovski, Yair Rodriguez, what a fight that is. Miocic. You know, I saw Dana White say this week, it wouldn't surprise him. And I said this recently. If Jones can defend about two more times, that'll be three wins at heavyweight. You know, then I think he might retire. He's not going to stick around forever. He's made plenty of money. He's getting $6 million a fight right now, you know. And yeah, compared to Tyson Fury, that's not that kind of money, but it's still bloody good money. Dana said that if he beats Miocic, we might see him retire after that one fight. Did you see that quote?
I did see that quote. Yeah. But I mean, he did sign what, like an 8-fight deal or something crazy like that? So why sign that long of a deal if you're only planning on one or two more fights?
Well, because that's how it works. You know, they offer you these kind of contracts and that's what you take. You know, it doesn't mean you have to take them. What it means is for that amount of times, that amount of fights, you can't go fight anywhere else. You're exclusive to them. And the rate is locked in for 6 fights. Doesn't mean he has to do those, but still, 8 times 6, $48 million. Throw a few mil for sponsors on there. You know, I mean, what would that be? 6 fights, 2 fights a year, 3 years. On top of the bloody 20, 30 million he's made already, John Jones will be living a pretty good life when it's all said and done. Anyway, right, what else have we got, Harrington? What's going on in the world of mixed martial arts? Anything we need to know about? Any breaking news? Or should we get back to UFC 286, the opening fight on the main card, which is a cracker, which is, of course, Marvin Vettori taking on Roman Dolidze. Marvin Vettori, friend of the show. Love Marvin. Sat with him at UFC, whatever it was last time when Jones fought. Cyril, top guy, love him. Lost last time out to Robert Whittaker. And you know, I saw Marvin after that fight. I think I might have told you. I saw Marvin in Paris after the fight, and he was so honest because he was fighting Robert Whittaker. Robert Whittaker that night looked the best version of himself. And you know, Marvin just had a hard time finding the range, basically landing anything because Whittaker was so good at getting in and out. I saw Marvin afterwards backstage and he was so honest. He just came up and was like, fuck, I've never experienced that before, Mike. He said, I just couldn't do anything. you know, and I had so much respect for him because he gave a good account of himself. He lost the fight. He lost the fight, but he wasn't full of excuses. He wasn't saying, I think, you know, the judges kind of screwed me there or anything like that. I mean, listen, Robert clearly won, but he was so honest and open. He was like, man, I was trying and I just couldn't catch him. You know what I mean? That's what I love, the honesty from Marvin Vettori. But going up against Dolidze, so he's a weird guy. Dolidze's like, he's got a very, very unorthodox style. He's got good submissions. Off his back, he's got tremendous sweeps. On the feet, he has got knockout power now as well. What are your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, what was the I want to say the Hermanson fight was like he wrapped his legs up behind him and then like almost, it was almost like a WWF wrestling submission, but then he ended it with like a TKO from punches. Roman Dolidze is a bad, bad man. Like this is a pretty tough spot for Marvin Vettori here, and I don't understand why. I mean, Roman Dolidze is like over a 2-1 underdog in this fight. And I mean, if anything, I don't know. I have this fight being like, in my mind, I look at those two. I'm like, yeah, that's about as even as it gets.
Yeah, well, he's 12-1. They only lost to Trevin Giles. That was a decision. Since then, on a 4-5 win streak, one decision against Laurano Steropoli, and then he's gone on a knockout streak. And I hate to make it about myself, guys, but he even said in the octagon that was because of me, because I criticized his lack of finishes. I didn't criticize it. I just said that's the thing that's holding him back. And then he started, this is because of you, Bisping. And I thought he was giving me shit. I was like, whoa, I don't need Roman Dolidze coming after me. But yeah, I mean, he's getting them now. 3 in a row. Kyle Dorcas, that was a good one. That was a nasty one. Phil Hawes, Jack Hermanson. What's your prediction on this one?
I mean, It's tough. I mean,
make a prediction, Harrington.
I'm going to say Roman Dolidze.
It doesn't matter. No one knows who you are. Make a prediction.
I'm going to say Roman Dolidze.
No, I'm going to tell Marvin. When I see Marvin, I'm going to tell him. So, you know, Harrington, he's full of it. He pretends to be your friend, but behind your back. Yeah, listen. It's a great fight. It's a great fight to open the main card. There's a lot of fights this weekend. 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15 fights in total. So on a 12, the fights finish at midnight local time. So that means they finish at 4 p.m. in California. So what does that mean? Starts 10 a.m.?
Yeah, I guess so.
7 hours. 7 hours, right? So 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock in the morning, pay-per-view starts.
Oh, that's incredible. That's incredible. Just wake up, have your Cheerios, put on the UFC. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. Muhammad Makhachev's on there, making his third or fourth fight in the UFC. Jack Shaw coming back. He's fighting Makwan Amakani. Lerone Murphy, Gabriel Santos. That's good. Joanne Wood, Luana Carolina. She's in a tough spot right now. Yeah, great fight card, solid undercard, a lot of familiar names from the London fight scene now, but there it is, UFC 286, Usman versus Edwards. Edwards versus Usman, 3, because he's the champ, he's the man. What else is going on, Harrington? Give us a non-MMA story.
Okay, so a judge in Canada has ruled that it is your God-given right to flip someone the bird.
Based upon what? I mean, yeah, listen, of course it is. I don't know about God-given, but, you know.
So
why did they make this ruling?
Can you see this? You can see that? Okay, so it was a 26-page decision. A case came up where a man was accused of harassing his neighbor by giving them the finger. So it went in front of a judge. He thought about it, threw the case out because, yeah, you can just give someone the finger. It's a I gotta find this exact quote. It's great. To be abundantly clear, it's not a crime to give someone the finger. Flipping Thank the God. Proverbial bird is a God-given charter enshrined right that belongs to every red-blooded Canadian.
or person. Look, listen, thank God that judge is seeing a lot of sense. Could you imagine what that would open the door to if he charged him with some kind of criminal charge for doing that, for extending a finger, right? If that bothers you, just don't look. Do you know what I mean? Or if the guy keeps doing that at you, I mean, look at that. I could do that to you all day, Harrington. What's it going to do? Nothing. Nothing yeah. other than the perception of your mind. He's flipping me the bird. He's being disrespectful. He doesn't like me. Well, yeah, the guy doesn't like you. So he might flip you the bird. Flip him one back or just laugh and just say, you know what, you're an idiot. You're pathetic. You're childish. You don't have to go to the goddamn police and press charges because somebody did that with their middle finger. I mean, what kind of sensitive, stupid world are we in? That even gets taken on by the police, that it makes it to a courthouse. Do you know what I mean? They're, talk about a waste of goddamn time. I mean, the world is just going stupid.
So the judge followed up. It is deplorable that the complainants have weaponized the criminal justice system in an attempt to exert revenge on an innocent man for some perceived slights that are at best trivial peeves. Some sense brought back into the judicial system. I love to see it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I mean, like Canada's going off the deep end with the liberal stuff lately. You know what I mean? You can sell meth and coke and heroin and whatever. And you're fine. You're fine. It doesn't matter. But at least they're seeing sense on that because that is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of some other examples recently, but there is a lot of, you know, people are just getting offended. We've had this conversation so many times. The world has gone so soft. And at least now, if you want to stick a finger up at someone, you're not going to be charged with anything. I mean, that's just stupid. Absolutely yeah, bloody ridiculous. Breaking news, Manscaped is now selling beard products. That's right. They've gone from the waist to the face to help you replace the bulky razor with a brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Let me tell you, this thing, it's top of the line, like all Manscaped products, but this thing is incredible. No more having 20 odd different guards. There's a rotary wheel so you can get just the length you need. The battery is phenomenal. I've had mine for a couple of months now and I'm still yet to charge it. Okay, it's got a titanium coated T-blade, tough on hair but smooth on the face, leading to single stroke efficiency. That is one time, one stroke, it will cut it to the length that you want. And this thing, as I say, it's Manscaped, so the products are second to none. Now the Beard Hedger Pro Kit, it comes with the beard shampoo and conditioner. Okay. You've also got the beard oil. You've got the beard balm. The Pro Beard Kit also comes with three free gifts, a beard brush, a comb, and scissors to ensure that your beard is ready to impress. And the best thing is when you use the code Bisping20, you're going to get all of those things plus 20% off and free shipping. So if you're trimming your face, if you've got a beard, you want to do it with the best in the business, and that is the Manscaped Beard Hedger Pro Kit. All you got to do is go to the website, manscaped.com. The code is Bisping20, 20% off, plus free shipping. Trust me, this thing is fantastic. It really is. It's waterproof. The batteries last forever. You know, one-stroke technology. It's the shit. It's the best one on the market. Simple as that. Manscaped.com, Bisping20, 20% off. Free shipping. What else is going on in MMA? Let's have a look. It's a bit of a slow news week other than the massive fight going down this weekend. So anything we've missed, Harrington?
So I'm Googling away for MMA news right now, and I'm not seeing too much. Just the Tom Aspinall says that John Jones is a dream fight for him. What do you think about Big Tom wanting to fight the number one pound for pound consensus GOAT, John Jones?
Yeah, 100%. I totally agree for him. With
yeah,
him. I'm not sitting here right now saying that Tom beats John Jones. I'm saying that out of everyone in the heavyweight division, Tom is one of the biggest threats. Who was it? I just saw an article yesterday. I think somebody said that Tom is the one to watch in terms of Jones. It might have been Chael Sonnen. I'm not sure, but I just Googled that. But still, listen, if you look at Tom, he's got no weak areas. John Jones exposed the wrestling side of Cyril Gane, right? Tom can wrestle. He's big. He's strong. He's a black belt on the ground. He's got proper wrestling. He's got fast feet, tremendous boxing. Very, very light, very agile, in and out. You know, now he says with his leg healed properly, and the issue that he had before, he's now able to train 100%, you know, the way he wants to, because it was always limiting what he could do. Yeah, no, listen, I think Tom is a very, very serious threat, and I still believe that he can be champion one day. Now, will he beat John Jones? That's another conversation, because that is a tough mountain to climb. However, that's a real fight. That's a real fight. There's no glaring weakness for Tom. Did you find the quote?
Yes, it is from Brendan Schaub.
All right, good old B-Sharp. There it is. Whoa! Hey, he's got a good point, though. I knew I saw it somewhere. Go on. What was the quote of Brendan Schaub?
He says, there's one contender in particular, the former UFC heavyweight Brendan Schaub believes can be the kryptonite for Jones. Speaking in a recent episode of Fighting the Kid, expressed his opinion, as much as people like Sergey Pavlovich or Curtis Blaydes could be tough matchup, the biggest challenge for the champ comes in the form of a healthy Tom Aspinall. I think the dark horse that can dethrone John would be Tom Aspinall if he's 100% with his knee. His boxing's ridiculous. His footwork, he's quick, good cardio, black belts on the ground, good wrestling. He's a handful, but his leg injury, so he's still a bit of a ways out.
Yeah. He's got a good point. You know, I mean, when you look at Curtis Blaydes, right, he's the big wrestler in the heavyweight division that they've got right now. Good hands, very, very good hands. But, you know, he's kind of wrestling heavy approach. I mean, he's got knockout power. But you know what he's going to try and do? That makes him a little obvious in terms of his strategy. You know what I mean? Sergey Pavlovich, yes, devastatingly strong striker. But again, you know, he's going to have a one-dimensional approach. He's not going to come in and mix it up. He's not going to throw low kicks and teeps and shoot a double leg, then throw one twos and then a high kick, spinning back kick to a body lock and, you know, all this type of stuff. It's going to be a very, very straightforward approach. Now, don't get me wrong, Sergey Pavlovich connects. You're going to go to sleep because he hits like a goddamn truck. But it was true what Jones said. And of course, it's easy in hindsight when he said that Cyril Garn is the most incomplete heavyweight in the top five. I mean, he did expose that. He did make that true. You know, but outside of John Jones, who else is as well-rounded as Tom Aspinall?
Not many.
I don't know if there is.
Curtis Blaydes doesn't have the hands. Pavlovich doesn't have the wrestling. Like, yeah, you go down the list. It is. Tom Aspinall is the only five-tool player at heavyweight other than Jones right now. Arguably. Stipe.
I was just about to say Stipe. Yeah. Stipe is the one. Stipe could be the toughest fight of, you know, John Jones's career. Look at those fights with DC. You know, 2-1 against DC. You could argue that he just got caught. Listen, they were very, very good fights. Very, very competitive, all three of them. You know, I think Stipe gives him a proper fight. And if he can get through Stipe, then he's got Tom Aspinall to look forward to. Because I think Tom, when he comes back, is going to do it with the bank. He's going to go in there against the top contender, put it to bed straight away, say, yeah, I've snapped my leg against Curtis Blaydes, but I'm back, I'm recovered, I'm here. Yeah, Tom. Come on, Tom. Love Tom Aspinall.
He actually said that yesterday. He went on the MMA Hour, and he said he's ready to go. He'll be ready. He said summertime probably makes the most sense for his return, but he's ready to go. Like, if they hit him with a big fight tomorrow, he could sign on the dotted line and go for it. So I don't know, man. Who do you have anybody in mind who you'd like to see Tom fight next?
Let's have a look. Let me just bring up the UFC heavyweight rankings. UFC... Piss off. I've always got a cable in front of my keys. UFC rankings. Let's have a look. I mean, it's got to be someone top. Simple as that. Hold on. Heavyweights. Here we go. So, Jones at one. Cyril Garn at one. Stipe, two. Sergey, three. Curtis Blaydes. Who's Sergey fighting? Has he got a fight lined up?
I don't think he does.
Yeah. I'm sure I thought, oh no, he was the backup. He was the backup for Cyril and Jones last week. I mean, you got Jorginho still at number nine.
Sergey's fighting Curtis Blaydes.
Yeah, that's right.
On April 22nd.
The winner of that? Yeah. I mean, that seems like a crazy shout. But the winner of, because listen, I would love to see a rematch with Curtis Blaydes. You know, yeah, he won the fight fair and square, but we all know it was because of the leg, right? And if Sergey Pavlovich wins that, then again, you know what I mean? It's all to play for. If he can beat the winner of those two, then he's right in there for a title fight. Maybe Tom feels different. Maybe the UFC feel different. But I don't think that's the craziest shout, because outside of that, I mean, who is it? Taito Uvasa. All right, that'll be fun. He's coming off a couple of losses. Volkov, he's beat him. Sergey Spivak beat him. Jorginho, love Jorginho. What a guy, but, you know, I think Tom would have a fun time in there with the grappling that he's got. And then outside of that, you're starting to go up 10, 11, 12, you know, way too far down. Tom's a top prospect. Oh, well, We got questions, Harrington. Can you do that? We don't have Brian here. Brian's at the doctor right now, and I don't want to say too much, but he's going to the... Oh, he's here. Brian's here.
Don't speak too soon. Brian is in the building, if I'm not mistaken. Brian, can you show yourself?
Brian is in the building.
Brian, any second now, just bring yourself on up. Brian, if you could, please.
If you could, get a bloody move on. You're worse than Harrington when I said to Harrington... send your questions into bympod@gmail.com. Harrington, Brian, are you there, Brian?
What he's giving you guys... So Brian's given the one finger thing in the background there. So he needs just like he's doing both hands to enunciate. It's pretty great.
He's freaking out in the background. But if you do have a question, send it into bympod@gmail.com.
If you are listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure you're subscribed, leave a 5-star rating, positive review. It really helps out on all those platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed to the channel and you hit the notification bell to find out whenever a new episode drops. And if you want to catch over 400 episodes you can't find anywhere else, completely ad-free and uncensored, head to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get yourself a 7-day free trial. Check out over 20 great shows on the network.
And also, next week we'll have a rotation of guests. We'll be back to normal. My schedule lately has been insane, so that's kind of like why we missed a couple of shows here and there, and we're struggling with guests because I'm doing this early. I'm straight off to the airport, but next week I'm back. I go to San Antonio, but don't you worry. The podcast will be back to its old self, so to speak. Brian McKay.
Hey, sorry, guys. My browser was crashing before. I heard you talking, and I was just like, shit, nothing's working.
It's all right, buddy. How you doing? You good? You're not dying on us, are you?
Not today.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Good to know.
I do have a question. First question here is from Emil Pepper, and it's more fence grab questions.
Oh, for crying out loud, the fence grab questions.
Fence grab seems to be a big topic at the minute. Could we not, or could the UFC not, or anyone, any MMA organization, could they not swap the fence out and put clear Perspex sheets there instead? So, just clear fucking plastic going all the way across. Still use it as a fence. You just can't put your fingers through because there's no holes. Would that work? Or is it too much impact if you get taken down, if you get pushed into it? Oh, fucking no. What do you think? Let me know.
Fuck you, Harry.
Yeah. Well, that might be the dumbest idea I've ever heard in my life. But God bless you, mate. I appreciate you. Because, listen, in theory, it makes all the sense. Just have plastic that you can see through. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, just big hockey boards.
Yeah. Could you imagine what that would look like if, a bit of sweat, a bit of blood, smearing against it? Number one, when you hit against it, it's not going to give, what I mean? At least the fence is really hard, believe it or not. The fence in the UFC cage, it doesn't move much, but it does have a little bit of buckle, a little bit of give in it. Number one, Perspex wouldn't do that, so there is that. Secondly, by the time you smear it up with sweat and blood and all that shit, you're hardly going to see through it. You know what I mean? Remember, the fence was, the idea was, so the fans can see, so that you can see through it. Obviously, a boxing ring, you would go through the ropes. You don't in Pride, but they do have issues in Pride. They had to always be recentering them and things like that. I mean, listen, I get his idea, but I just think the practicalities of it, it's not going to happen. Brian, is that the best question we've got?
Yeah, what happens when you get Sergey Plavovich, right? Curtis Blaydes, like grab
Hulk
a leg.
Smash.
Yeah, of Plavovich. Just that's 700 pounds of man crashing into a board. They're going to go through and into the first row there. That's just how
it has to be
works.
Pretty strong Perspex, but I'm sure you can. I bet you can get bulletproof Perspex. I'm sure you can. But still, yeah. I mean, I don't think the UFC, I don't think that's a revolutionary idea. I'm sure someone along the way thought about it and they went, no, that ain't going to work. Brian, do we have any others? For the love of God, please. Thank you very much for the question, by the way.
we got some weird ones in this time. I'm gonna share this one. It's strange.
Okay.
All right.
Michael, what's your favorite egg? Is it a boiled egg? Is it a scrambled egg? Is it a fried egg?
Yeah, you're right. That was a weird one. Jesus, people, what is going on in your mind? But I will say this. I like an over-medium egg. Well, what's your egg of choice, Harrington?
If I'm going on a sandwich, I like an over-medium. If I'm just having it with, like, eggs and bacon or whatever, scrambled, a little bit of American cheese. American cheese melts the best.
I will say this. Like, in the UK, you don't get the options like you do out here. I mean, you can have a fried egg, scrambled egg, poached egg, whatever. You know, you got those, but you can't. I don't think ever in a restaurant I've ever had the option to go over medium, over easy, over well done, sunny side up. It's like, if you want a fried egg, you get it fried. You know what I mean? But I don't know why they bother in the States either, because they never listen to it. Never listen. I like it over medium. I like to, when you penetrate the egg, you get a little bit of yolk. You know what I mean? It's over medium. It's ideal. It's perfect. It's tasty, delicious, and nutritious. But they never fucking do it like that. It's always over easy every single time. You touch it with the fork and it's just like an embryo has exploded onto your plate. It's disgusting. It's gross. It's a real issue in my life. This show's off the rails. We need Anthony Smith back.
Okay.
We need him back.
We can do one more question. I think we'll get along just fine. We've done a pretty good job of previewing UFC 286. Hyped about that.
Yes, no? Me too. Very good. Yeah. I just got to go. I'm going to get on a plane soon. We got one more question, Brian, for the love of God.
I can see him furiously scanning through this one.
Yes, we do have one more question. And this one is Kevin Morales' stoner thought of the day. Apparently.
Okay. Oh, God.
Kevin's cool. Kevin's good people.
All right.
Never met him.
UIM crew. This is Kevin Morales coming to you guys from Greenville, Tennessee. My question today is what you guys think about how we measure the reach of our fighters. Right now, we measure from the wingspan, and say a fighter has a 7-inch reach advantage. Really, they only have, 3.5 inches at best. Once you subtract the length of the chest and the fingertips, you may not have that much of a reach advantage. My question is, do you guys think that there's a better way we could measure the reach of our fighters? Let me hear what you guys think. Y'all have a good day and don't party too hard.
Well, he does bring up a good point. You know what I mean? And he looks like he's bloody jacked out of his mind as well. Continue with those bloody, those workouts that you're doing there, buddy. Do you know what? I'm embarrassed to say this, but that only occurred to me recently, that it's halved. Do you know what I mean? Because it is your wingspan. It is from tip of finger to tip of finger. But when you're here, obviously that's halved. It's not a 3-inch reach advantage. It's 1.5 inches.
You know when I had that realization? Right now.
Oh, right now. Oh, really? Yeah. No, it was only kind of recently, a few months ago. I was like, oh, shit. Oh, my God. Yeah. I think someone pointed it out and I was like, oh, my God, they're absolutely right. But it's still the best way of doing it. Still the best way of doing it. I mean, yeah, you could just do from your you know, this bone here. What do you call that? The sternum clavicle?
Yeah.
The sternum clavicle?
I think it's, I know this is your clavicle.
That's your, here. Yeah. I think that, you know, that shoulder joint, the bit on the top, you go from there to your fist, whatever, who cares? It's fine. It ain't broke. So don't try and fix it. What's his name? Alex.
Kevin. For sure. Kevin. What about leg reach? What about leg reach?
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
I'm getting on a plane. I'm going. Who cares? I don't care. Leg reach is great from the hip to the toe. Let's go. We'll be back on Monday with another show. I'm continuing to rhyme because I got the flow, but I'm out of here. Harrington, good job. Brian, good job. Questions, let's have some good ones next week. We're coming back with a couple of guests. I'm going to go jump on a plane, so I'm going to go. UFC 286, we will give you a full review on Monday. Looking forward to that. I'll be back Sunday afternoon. So I'll be back here with a full breakdown of all the fights, all the action, plus a couple of guests as well. So you guys take care. Harrington, great job as always. Brian, glad to hear you're not dying. Take care.